Okay, so welcome to part two of psychiatry. So our patient that we're going to deal with today, the question that I got is, if we have a patient who is schizophrenic, so there obviously is a broad range, just like all mental illnesses, there's a broad range of what a specific disorder has. What?
Not multiple personality disorder.
No, schizophrenia. Again, schizophrenia is, from what I gather, the most severe psychotic disorder, in its most intense form. Symptoms would be, right, delirium, hallucinations, you're not able, dysfunctional in terms of your actions and talking, you won't be able, from what I gather, you speak to someone who's schizophrenic and you can pick it up on pretty much right away. That's what psychiatrists told me. The negative behavior, a lot of times, very lethargic, lazy, they don't really want to do anything, take part in society, etc. So those things are, obviously, in the most extreme form, it's a very extreme psychotic disorder. And so the difference is, obviously, if someone's on medication, they can live in the world, be part of this world, without really much of an issue necessarily, if they have a mild form of schizophrenia. However, patients that are hospitalized always have a severe form of schizophrenia. So, no matter what. Now, obviously, the goal of the hospitalization is to put them on meds, and hopefully, whether it's within a few days, a week, a month, sometimes longer, sometimes less, is try to get them sort of kind of regulated where they can go back into the world. Now, patients can go back into the world. Sometimes that means that they're really pretty much totally normal, barring one or two things that they're a little strange. Sometimes it means they have their, you know, hallucinations and things, but they can still talk to you in that way. So there may be differences in terms of what we spoke about last week, which we may get back to, but that's in general. Now, again, if you're in a hospital, that means you have a severe psychotic expression of schizophrenia. So imagine going, a patient comes into the hospital, first day. So he is in his, you know, whether it's his first break or his third break of of coming to hospital, he's in a very severe state of psychosis. You're still working on figuring out what meds to give him. So he is, like, totally out. The question I was posed is, let's say it's a non-religious Jew who's a patient. Can you change his diet so that his diet is kosher? Now, to clarify, doctors pretty much prescribe the diets for all their patients. I know on most specialties, the only reason I'm not saying on all specialties is because I haven't heard from all specialties that that's what they do, but I know in most specialties, if not all, and on the psychiatry, where the doctors are the one that prescribe the diet. So can they change it? This guy doesn't know the difference. He's totally, his mind is totally gone. Again, he's a severe schizophrenic, and at this point, they haven't figured out what meds to give him. Can you give him kosher food? Now, the corollaries to that question are also very important. Number two, and this would apply to doctors on pretty much any specialty, if you prescribe a diet and you have a non-religious Jew, are you allowed to prescribe a non-kosher diet? Let's say there's pork in that diet, theoretically. Can you prescribe pork to give to your Jewish patient who's non-religious? Now, we're going to take it from the angle of a schizophrenic, a severe schizophrenic, because that's our case, but that's question number two. And then question number three, hopefully, if we get to, is, now, take the opposite angle. Let's say you're a psychiatric fellow, or an attending, and you are working on, I'm going to say, resident, because you get less of a choice in terms of your schedule, and you have to work on the first night of Pesach, and you have a non-religious Jew. Can you force that non-religious patient to eat matzah? Should you force him to eat matzah? Again, assuming all things being equal, it's not dangerous, etc., that's what all these questions are dealing with, all things being equal, can you force the patient to do that mitzvah? Again, he may not know the difference, but maybe he'll be in kind of mitzvah, etc. Good. That's the question that we're going to have to deal with.
Is he at all in any way, shape, or form a bar chiyuv?
Oh, okay. So that's the obvious question that we're going to get to. So, first of all, what's the status of a schizophrenic? So last week we spoke about other mental disorders and whether they fall into the category of a shota. Again, a shota, the Gemara in Chagiga and Gimel Mabez gave us, and as those quote from the Yerushalmi, there are really four of these signs: walking out alone at night, sleeping in a cemetery, ripping your clothing, and losing everything you get. So all those things, as the Rishonim called it and the Achronim called it, those are simanim uvhakim. Those are signs for some form of shote. And more than just signs, as the Rambam in the ninth paragraph of Chassid has told us, that there's one sarashav, there's one common denominator to be called, termed, a shote, a halachic shote, and that's daita mishubash alav tamid. That's when your mind is just never settled, what maybe we would call incapacitated. Right? That's what a shote means. So when we're talking about schizophrenia, and obviously in our case we're talking about a severe schizophrenia, with all the symptoms we mentioned earlier, it is quite clear that a schizophrenic, especially in amidst his episode, is a shote. There's pretty much no denying that he may be even more than just a simple shote. The Ramah in Eben HaEzer, the Shulchan Aruch in Eben HaEzer in Siman Mem Dalet in Siv Beis quotes that a shote can't be mekadesh anisha. Someone who's a shote can't get married. So the Ramah there comments on the Shulchan Aruch and says that's only a shote gamar. But itim chalim, itim shote, a concept which we spoke about last week, someone who has some form of, let's say, you know, brief delusional disorder, maybe, or what did we say last week it was? I don't remember. I think we said it's something. It could be schizophrenia, but what?
A
brief psychotic disorder, some form of that. Again, we said last week we were talking about a severe depression, MDD, that would be itim chalim, itim shote, presumably, according to some of the Achronim, that's the way we assumed. So what the Ramah tells us is that when the Shulchan Aruch says a shote cannot get married, that's only a shote gamor. But a shote that's itim chalim, itim shote, so when he's good, when he's not in his manic or depressive episodes, he would be able to be mekadesh anisha. So the Ramah now gives us a brand new category, something that we hadn't seen last week, called a shote gamor, a complete and total shote. He gets us, the Gra points us out, he gets us from the Gemara, Nivamos HaKuf Yud Gimel Amad Aleph. I apologize, I couldn't print out Makoros. I didn't print out Makoros, I could have probably. But you're Ravashi. So Ravashi says, my time with Rabbi Lazar. What's the reason why Rabbi Lazar says that the Gemara here is talking about, that we have a suffix when you have a Shota, that a Chiresh, not for this discussion right now, but a Chiresh does Truma, whether it's a good Truma. So the Gemara tries to figure out why. So Mifshe Pshit Leid Chayresh Daita Klishtahu. So he's clear. What Rabbi Lazar definitely holds is that a Chayresh has Daita Klishta, has a very weak intellectual capacity. Umiyu Misapkele, but his suffix is, his doubt is, Daita Tzilusa Ilab Daita Tzilusa. He may have a weak mental capacity, but is he totally, you know, the crude way of saying it, is he with it? Right? Can he have Kavana when he's... He may not be so smart. He may be very foolish. He may not be able to get into college, but can he have kavanah for a mitzvah or not? That's what the suffix is. Ulo olam chada daito, and he's always the same. He doesn't change. O dilma, maybe the other way to look at it is pshitale de daite klishte, that a chayresh has a very weak intellectual capacity. Vilav daite tzilusahu. And also, it's not just he has a weak mental capacity, he is always incapacitated. Right, he never daito mishubesh as a love, as the Rambam would tell us. But v'ha'cha in a time akiv ditim chalim ditim shota. But here the question is that sometimes he is in this episode, but sometimes he comes out of it, and sometimes he's totally with it. He's not incapacitated anymore. So that's the suffix of Rabbi Lazar, and the Gemara then continues. But what the important part is from this suffix in Rabbi Lazar, you see that there's different types of being incapacitated. There's sometimes where you're always incapacitated, right? As we would say, lolam chada daita, that you're always, again, you can have it. There are two things: intellectual capacity, and then what we're talking about, which the way we would describe a shota, is it's not intellectual capacity, but it's how I don't know how you would describe it. I keep on saying incapacitated because that's the only word I can think of. If you can think of another word, you let me know. But with that, that's the other way to look at it. So again, if someone is always like that, always has a weak intellectual capacity, and is always incapacitated, that's what we would call a shote gamar. That's what the Gemara is telling us is a shote gamar. This type of person can't get married, his truma's not good, all of that. Right? That's what clearly comes out of the suffix. Again, because if he's sometimes not, then his truma may be good at the times when he's not. So the question is he always not, or is he always yes? So you see, there's a concept of always being yes. Good? That's where the Ramah comes from. It's an important Ramah, I guess, for a little bit. But that's where we're at right now. So right now, a schizophrenic, the question is whether it would be a shote gamor. Now, if you asked me 500 years ago, I think everyone would probably agree that a severe schizophrenic is going to be a shote gamor. He's a total and complete shote. There's nothing you can do about it. My guess is 500 years ago, they didn't have the proper medicine to treat. Could be wrong. If not 500 years ago, let's talk about 1,000 years ago.
Didn't the Romans use lithium to treat it? Or not is that bipolar?
That's bipolar.
Sorry. And you go to medical school, you'll know. So the question is nowadays, what a schizophrenic would be. Now, a severe schizophrenic is definitely a real shota. But the question is, once he takes his meds, what is he? So we mentioned last week that there's also another concept, not just itim chalim, itim shota, but a shota l'davar echad. Right? That's what we call the delusional disorder. So a person can live life normally while having an imaginary best friend. So we pointed out from the Lamjarov last week, in the Divrei Michal, that the difference, the shota l'davar echad is really always considered a shota. Because we're always worried that, yeah, that delusional friend's going to sneak into the rest of his life. So yeah, it sounds like he's having a normal conversation, but then you're going to ask him to do something. Are you really going to trust him? You know, he does have an imaginary friend, and it may slip in. So we're never really fully trustworthy of that person, and that's why he would be called a shota. So the question is whether schizophrenia would fall into that, maybe. So either it's a shota gamor, or maybe it's a shota l'davar echad, and maybe the medication solves the whole thing, and he doesn't have any delusional disorder when he's on his meds, and then he would only be itim chalim, itim shota, right? These are all different possibilities. But he's definitely included in a shota when he's in the episode. And that's what our case is. He comes into the hospital. He's definitely having a break, a schizophrenic break, where he's definitely a shota, at least. Good. So the big question that we have to deal with now, we're going to take it from the second question first. Are you allowed to give him non-kosher food? Right? You're the one that directs what his diet is. The doctor is the one that orders his diet. Can he order him pig? He's a non-religious Jew. He doesn't care anyway. He doesn't know what's happening anyway. Is that mutter? So that question really is a much larger question. And the question stems from actually the beginning of this past week's parsha. But the Gemara in Yevamos on the next daf actually, in Kofi Yadal Adam Aleph, tells us, Tashma, lo sochlum ki sheket heim lo sa'achilum lazir gdolim alaktan. We have a concept that the Gemara tells us, lahazir, that there are certain isurim. The Gemara tells us three isurim, shratim, dam, and Tumas Kohanim, that was last week's parsha. And Tumas Kohanim, right? Those three Isurim, the Chazal tell us, Lahazir Yidolim Alaktanim, meaning the adults have to make sure that the kids don't violate these Isurim. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, well, we need all three. They each have a special Chiddush that they bring to the table. Nevertheless, in the end of the day, the Gemara tells us that Beis Din aren't Mitzuvin Lahafrisho, Beis Din aren't Chayav to separate the ketanim, the ones who are not chayiv in mitzvos, from these isurim, but nevertheless, you can't actively, asur l'ha'achilo b'yadayim, I can't actively, as an adult kohen, you can't actively put a dead body onto a kid and make him tameh. That's the isur. L'hazir yigulam l'ketano, I can't actively do that. So the Rambam tells us in Hachazavin, paragimah l'chazayin, that that's all true. Again, Beis Din's not mitzuvah to say, if the little baby Kohen is holding a dead body, Beis Din's not mitzuvah to come and take away the dead body. But there's an isser for the father or Beis Din to give him the dead body. And the Rambam adds on, however, because of chinuch, you are chayiv to take away the father is chayiv to take away the dead body, to teach him to do chinuch. Wonderful. This is obviously a very important concept. This applies not just to those three isserim. Those three isserim apply to a lot more than that. Is a whole big discussion, which we do not have time to get into, about this isser. But good. Either way, there's an isser to feed, let's say, for me to feed a baby pork, that the doctor doesn't say, he has to have pork, that would be an isser l'hachil b'yadayim. Right?
Dam and shratzim?
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh. It applies okay. to machalos asuros, at least, and perhaps more in velos shreifos for sure. It applies to a lot more than just. It applies to Shari Serum also.
Will the hospital wait for the doctor to prescribe the diet, or will they just start feeding them?
The doctor has to fill out a... press a button or whatever. He's the one that prescribes the diet. So getting dark here. So the question that's dealt with is what's the point of it? What is this isser? Why is it isser l'ha'achil b'yadayim? That's like to feed pork to a kid. What's the isser about? So the Chassam Sofer and a Chuv and Arachaim and Simon Pei Gim will quote from the Trumas Adeshen that the Isser is what you would think. That you don't want him to be margil to eating pig and he gets older and he was eating pig when he was 11, he's eating pig when he was 10, and then he's going to start eating pig when he's 14. It's not such a big deal.
So
That's what the Truman Sadeshin says. What?
So it's chinuch.
It's some form of chinuch. That's what it seems like.
It's not
lifnei iver. Presumably, it's a separate iser d'oraisa, presumably. Presumably. Now, this is, again, part of that big question I was telling you before in the sugya. But okay. The Chassam Sofer, however, disagrees. The Chassam Sofer says it's nothing to do with getting them accustomed to eating it and nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with chinuch, nothing to do with any of that. It's just there's an iser in the etzem maisa of feeding a child pork. That's it. That's us, sir. That's the Hazar Yidol Malatanim. We're not darshin on time of the cross, says the Chassam Sofer. So there are a lot of nafkaminas between the Chassam Sofer and the way the Shulman Sadeshin understands. Due to time constraints, we're not going to discuss them. But one interesting nafkamina is, let's say you have an infant, a newborn child. So can you give a newborn child pork formula, as there is? So according to the Shulman Sadeshin, that the whole thing is to be margulim, to get him a cup. His kid is 2 months old. He's not going to be accustomed to eating pork. He has no clue what's going on. It's one thing if he's 5 or 6. It's another thing if he's 2 months. So Truma Sadeshin presumably wouldn't apply it in that case. However, the way the Chassam Sofer says, no, the actual action of feeding pork to a kid is an issue. That's presumably. So now let's jump to our question. What about a shota? What about feeding to a shota? So presumably the same thing, at least. Now, maybe even the etzem maisa, the actual action of feeding a shota, may also not be an issue. Maybe Chazal were only misakin on a katan. Maybe not. Not so clear. But either way, there's something that presumably this nafkamina would also apply to a shota. Now, it happens to be the Achronim point out. I saw in the Shulchan Aruch Harav at the end of the Sefer, he has Truvos. So in Siman Mem Aleph, he writes this, and if you look in the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Shabbos, in Shin Mem Gimel there, the Sharet Tzion and Sifkan Vav, they also point out that feeding to a one-month-old child is also, they bring down from the Isser V'Heter that it's only, that it's totally Mutter, there's no Isser, and then they disagree and say that it definitely is Aser, to feed to a one-month-old. Meaning there still would be an Isser L'Ha'achel B'Yadayim when you give pork to a one-month-old, let's say. That's what these Achronim say. Now, what about a Shota? So the Chassam Sofer assumes in a Chuvin or a Chaim and Siman Pei Beis, which we're going to discuss in a minute, Blina, there, that to a Shota would be the same thing. There's also an Isser to feed L'Hachil B'Yadayim, to actively feed a Shota pork. So any Shota that you see on the street, that's a real Shota at that time, he's a Jew, I can't give him Shratzim. Let's just call it. He's a Kohen, I can't be Metameh. So what the Chassam Sofer is talking about, and we mentioned this a little bit last week there, is the following case. There was someone in his town, they didn't have any Jewish institutions for people who were mentally ill. So they only had governmental institutions for people who had any form of mental illness. So they asked the Chassam Sofer if they can take their child to a government institution where there's going to be treif. Are they allowed to do that? So that was the question raised to the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer said, there is an Isser to L'Hachal Yadayim to Roshota, even if this girl, that was the case, the girl, there was a little girl, is a Shota. Therefore, there is an Isser L'Hachal Yadayim. Nevertheless, he said it's totally mutter, because there's only an Isser to actively feed the child. But to send to a government institution, where the government representatives are going to now feed the child, that's not called L'Hachal Yadayim, you're not actively doing anything. That is not an issue. Nevertheless, said the Chassam Sofer, when he reaches 13, then he would have to come out of the institution. And that's what he also says, Maker Adin. So it's mutter because you're not being machal biyadayim, you're only causing someone else, a government representative, to be machal biyadayim, that's not an issue. That's all Maker Adin. Nevertheless, the Chassam Sofer ends off. All that being said, the lashon he has is something like, Mutav shei shota kol ha chayim, Kol Yamav Va'alti Rasha Sha'achas Lefnei HaMakom. It's something along those lines. That it's better for a person to be a Shota his whole life than to be a Rasha in front of Hashem even for one moment. So he says, yeah, it's totally good maker at the end, but I wouldn't do it. That was kind of what the Chassam Sofer's idea was. Now, what we quoted last week is from Rav Moshe in Orach Chaim in Chelek Beis in Siman Peiches. So he quotes this Chassam Sofer. Someone asked him the same exact question, pretty much. Again, someone wanted to send their daughter to an institution, and can they do it? It's going to be trefos again, and this was sent 70 years ago or something. And there weren't, obviously, weren't the resources that we have today. And so first, he quoted the Chassam Sofer, and he points out that Me'ikar Adin, the Chassam Sofer says, it would be totally mutter. What he does say is that, in this case, because it's Pikuach Nefesh, and he says it's Pikuach Nefesh because the parents of this child were older, and they had heart issues, and dealing with it was just getting very hard, and the doctors were nervous for the parents. So the doctors recommended that they send their daughter to an institution. So Moshe said, so that makes it Pikuach Nefesh. Again, if we remember last week, that's our Moshe's Shita. Right, we pointed out that Reb Chaim thought that even if it wasn't going to lead to any sakana, it's still always Pikuach Nefesh when it's a Shota. Okay, but again, Reb Moshe says, because there's Pikuach Nefesh here, because the Chassam Sofer says, Me'ikar Din, it's totally mutter, so not a problem. And then he points out, and what the Chassam Sofer said at the very end, that Mutav, She'eshota kol yoma avalti rasha, sha'achas lefnei hamakom, that it's better to be a Shota your whole life and not to be a Rasha for one moment, he said that doesn't apply in our case. But the Chassam Sofer was talking about was a case when this Shota wasn't a Shota Gomer. This Shota was someone who was Itim Chalim Itim Shota. And so what they were hoping that this boy would go to this institution, get treatment, get better, and be able to leave. So the Chassam says, Ramosha, so the Chassam Sofer said, so what you're going to do is, Chazal tell us, when you eat Nevelos and Trefos, it's mitmesimbam, it's mitamte misalev, it's going to cause him to all sorts of bad habits, bad midos. And so when he gets older and he leaves the institution and he's all better, he's now going to be on the wrong path. And Rav Moshe says that's what the Chassam Sofer is talking about. But if you have a Shota Gomer, such as the case that they were giving in front of him, that this young lady was not going to get out of an institution. She was a Shota Kol Yamav. So the Chassam Sofer never said it's better for her to be a Shota because she's not a Rasha. There's no Chiv, she's a Shota. She's not Chayiv to do anything. She's not Chayiv in mitzvos. So because of that, we're not worried if it's going to mess up her heart, is going to worsen her midos when she gets better, and she's always like this. So the Reb Moshe said, because of all that, because it's Bikul Nefesh, Chassam Sofer said, Me'ikar Adin, there's no Isser L'Ha'achil B'Yadayim in this case, and there's no, that last point, there's no Mutav, it's better for her to be a Shota in our case, because of that he allowed all this, in that specific case. Now the question becomes, back to our case of schizophrenia, so now what is it, right? It's not a Shota Gomer, right? Presumably, in most cases, the medicine helps. And presumably, if you have medicine, and that medicine and treatment is going to help you get better, are you considered, I don't know. So this comes to the question of what? Either you're a Shota Gomer, or you're a Shota Davar Echad. Those cases, you would still be a Shota the whole time, right? That presumably wouldn't change. But if it's a case of Itim Chalim, where when you get the medical treatment, you can go back into society and not just go to society with your imaginary friend, but go back to society, and when you're on your meds, you can live a normal life, which, when I'm told, mild cases of schizophrenia, that's what it is, right? You can really walk around, and there could be plenty of people here with schizophrenia that have mild forms of it, very mild cases, and are on their meds. So because of all of that, so, again, now you have to go back to see what's Me'ikar Adin and what's more, right? Me'ikar Adin, we said, for the government to do it, that's not a problem. For you to do it, now, it's going to be an issue, right? For me to feed pork to a Shota is going to be an issue. What happens to be that there are those that disagree. The Noah debuted a son as a Shivas Tzion. The Noah debuted, I think, had three children. This was the one that kind of took over the reins. So his Shuva Sefer, so I think there I saw that he disagrees, and he thinks that there's no Isser to actively feed a Shota Treif. But the Chassam Sofer, Moshe, they all hold that there is an Isser. The only time it's not an Isser is when you send to an institution. So the doctor is ordering treif for his patient, who's a Shota, it's going to be an issue, presumably. Presumably, it is an issue. Now, again, this is why I bring specifically a Shota. Now, if you're in the pediatric ward, or let's take a non-pediatric ward, you're working with an adult, and it's a non-religious Jew, and you try ordering him on kosher food, he's going to fire you and get you another doctor, right? There's obviously more calculations that go into play. But when we're talking about a Shota who's incapacitated and is an Isser, l'hachil b'yadayim, to give him treif actively, so that's going to apply in that case where it's not going to make a difference. That's why before I said all things being equal. I want to make that clear. So presumably there is an Isser l'hachil b'yadayim. Good. Now the second case. Okay, so that's in terms of eating, giving them treif. Now, is there any benefit of giving them kosher food? So this, just I guess to go by a little quickly, So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Choshen Mishpat in Reish Mem Gimel in Sifta Zayin that there's a when we make a kinyan, so when I give you something, so in order for it to become yours, you have to acquire it through a kinyan, whether that's Shicha, Agba, whatever the kinyan is. But there has to be some sort of kinyan between us. So a shote can't be kona anything. But says the Shulchan Aruch, someone else can be kona something for a shote. So if we have shote right over here, and you want to give him something, but he can't acquire it, so I can get it, I can take it on behalf of him. And I can acquire it on behalf of him. The sma there in Sifka Anam, it says that's because of the concept of zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. That you're allowed to do something to benefit a person even when he's not around. So shote is, says the sma, shote is always shalom b'fanav. It's always as if he's not there. So you're allowed to do that. Now it happens to be that if you look at the ktsos there in Sifkan, Vavi disagrees. And the ktsos points out, he quotes from a gemara b'mit Sinai beis amid beis, That's not true. That it sounds like you can't be zocha. That there is no such thing as zachin la'adam shel b'fanav to a katan. And he quotes that the ikar is really like the way the Yad Ramah has it. That's brought in the Rosh in Ksuvis in the second parak in Simin Yadale. That ain zchiyah the katan. That I can't acquire l'shota. Sorry, I can't acquire something on behalf of a shota. This is because a katan is different than a shota. Right? A katan will become an adult. He will be able to have das. A shote, when he's talking about is a shote gomer, so a shote gomer is never going to get better. So that's one of the differences he has from the Gemara of Metzia there, that anyone who can be a shliach can have zichia, you can benefit. So now the question is, now let's go to our case. Our case is a case where I'm a doctor, we have a shote in front of me. So will it be beneficial for him to eat kosher? Maybe. Is it considered a case of zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav by giving him kosher? So when we think of it in a much bigger picture, so the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos in Shin Chav Ches, I think, discusses when you have doctors that are arguing with each other. One says you have to go to the hospital, one says you don't have to go to the hospital, so Shulchan Aruch says you have to be mechal Shabbos. You have to go to the hospital. So the Magen Avraham there quotes from a Tshuva Sarad Vaz, that if someone is refusing to take a medicine, you are allowed to force him to take medicine. Basically, we try to force you to do the right thing. We're zachin la'adam, we try to force you to do whatever you need to do. So if you look in the tshuvos of the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, in Chelek Tezvav, in Simen Mem, so there he's discussing a case, someone asks him, there was a whole school where there were a lot of people who were sick, needed treatments, and they were wondering if they can force the kids to get treatments. So he has a long tshuva there, but he quotes a more ktsiyah on that siman in Shulchan Aruch that I just quoted, Rav Yaakov Emdin, and he quotes him and he basically says that anything that's pikuach nefesh, anything that's to help save a person, to help make a person feel better, all of those cases you can force a person to do. Why? Zachin adam shelo b'fanav. So you can force the child to go to the hospital to get treatments because that's called zachin adam shelo b'fanav. So we already see to get treatments is called zachin adam. Zachin la'adam doesn't just mean to acquire something. It means to benefit the person. So the question is there any benefit by causing this person to eat kosher? So we already said that there's a problem to have this person eat non-kosher, or at least treif. That's going to be an eser l'hachel b'yadayim. But is there any benefit to him eating kosher? So again, if he's a shota, he's pater from all mitzvos. Right? Is there a mitzvah to eat kosher? No, it's an eser to eat non-kosher. Right? No really mitzvah to eat kosher. So is there any benefit? Maybe, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you. The big nafkamina would be if, let's say, there are two psychiatrists, one's a Jew, one's a non-Jew. The non-Jewish doctor is a Jewish patient who's not religious. The Jewish doctor sees it and should he go over and say, you know, let's switch patients and I'll try to get him to eat kosher. I don't know if he has to go that far. I wouldn't think he has to go that far. But these are all, the question is whether there is zachin la'adam shel b'fanav. So again, the Ktos pointed out there's no zachia for a shota. So even though there's zechiah, there's benefit here, there's a machlokas in the poskim, whether you would say zachin, zechiah, that you should benefit, a shote. Right, so that's, I guess, part number two. Part number three is, again, what we dealt with is, let's say you're our resident, you go in on the 15th of Nisan, and you have a non-religious patient, so can you force him to eat matzah? Now again, forcing him doesn't mean opening his mouth and forcing it. Forcing him means you're going to give him diet, so you put in a kezayis of matzah to make sure he eats a kezayis of matzah. Hey, should you do it? Is it mutter to do it? What?
That could be a lot of matzah.
It could be. Okay, let's go to the mekel shita. You put some spread on it so he doesn't notice. I don't know. yeah, maybe. I never said Mar, just enough. the Gemara in Ksuvos on Pei Vav Amud Aleph Amud Beis deals with forcing someone to do mitzvahs. You tell a person, go build a sukkah, he says no, you can force him. The Gemara says, you hit him until Atcha Tetzei Nafsha. They're shown to point out until he does the mitzvah, until he accepts it upon himself to do the mitzvah. So those are all different types of... So we do force for mitzvahs. There's kfiya ala mitzvahs. So in this case, if he has a matzah, can you force him to eat the matzah? So the question becomes a little more... first glance, you would say, yeah, why not? But there's more. The Netziv has in two places. In his Chuvas Meshiv Davar, in Chelek Dalet Yud Aleph, also in his Hemek Sheila, he has it, where he points out that if a person says, I am Potter, do you believe him? Are you still Kofes? So for example, there are two big examples. Let's say a person can't have children. So can you force, after 10 years, the din in the Gemara is that they get divorced so that they can have children. So can you force the husband to divorce? Or maybe the husband will come back and tell you, no, the reason we can't have children is really on me. And therefore what he's saying is, I'm putter, because I can't have mitzvahs, I can't have children anyway. Right? So that it comes up there by Puravu, the Achronim bring it up by Tefillin also. Can you force someone to wear Tefillin? Maybe he'll always say, I'm passing gas, so I'm putter right now. So you can never really force him. So the Netziv points out, we don't force when someone can say I'm putter. More than that, the Netziv also says, even if there's a suffix whether the person is chayv in the first place, we also don't force someone to do mitzvos. So in the case of a shote, where he's definitely putter min ha-mitzvos, all the more so, we definitely won't force him to do a mitzvah. So I don't think there's any benefit in making sure that on Tezva of Nisan, on that night, that the schizophrenic patient has a gezayis of matzah. So again, in conclusion, in terms of the three questions, so number one, when a patient dealing specifically with a shote, who's not fully aware of what's going on, if he's a Jewish person, a Jewish patient, ideally because there's an iser sfiya biyadaim, is an iser lahachil biyadaim, is an iser to actively feed trefos to a Jew, because of that, you should not order him tref food. If it's going to be a problem in the non-psychiatric ward, that's a separate discussion, not for right now. Number two, in terms of giving him kosher food, so not so clear whether this is beneficial in the first place. And number two, is the machlok is whether there's such thing as zechiyah, even for a shota. So presumably, do you have to change the diet? It would probably be better if it didn't make a difference, but I don't know if you would need to, if it would cause any issues. And number three, in terms of forcing for mitzvos, again, because the shota is pater min ha-mitzvos, presumably, there would be no issue at hand. Just to end off the last 5 minutes, I want to go back to last week's, or 2 weeks ago by now, Shir, because I have one addendum to that case before we close out the psychiatric rotation. I like that play on words. So last week, the question that we posed was the following. We have a patient who has a major depressive disorder. And what we assume that means is itim chalom, itim shota, that at this point he really is a shota. And the question that we had was part of the CBT, part of that treatment is to try to get him to do things that he used to do, hobbies, actions, etc. This person was very religious. Can you go, can you encourage him to go worship Christianity, to pray again? Assuming that it's Avodah Zarah. So we pointed out a lot of different factors. Number one, he's a shota, so he's pater from anything, shota's pater min ha-mitzvos. Even when he's not a shota and he's on his way of getting better, so we pointed out that Reb Chaim held that it's bikuach nefesh anyway. So presumably that wouldn't be an issue. Now because of that, we mentioned, okay, but if it's Avodah Zarah, so maybe there's a chiyav yihari val yavor. Maybe the patient himself has to allow himself to be killed. This is a discussion in the Gemara we pointed out, and we pointed out that this may be a case, and I'm going quickly because we discussed it last week, but this may be a case of Avodah Zarah Bitsina, that therefore everyone would agree in that case, you don't have an obligation to give up your life rather than worship Avodah Zarah. So therefore that wouldn't be an issue either. So because of that, there's no real lifnei iver in this case, because of one of two reasons. Number one, there's no lifnei iver because you're doing something to benefit him, to help him get better, it's pikuach nefesh, he's not chayav to give up his life, So there's no lifnei iver presumed because of that. We pointed out also there's a tshuva that Rav Moshe has that there's no lifnei iver when there's a machlokas whether something's usher or not. So if Christianity is usher or not usher is again part of that big discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim. So maybe that's another sad lahakel to allow us to give over this treatment. However, today actually, Rav Shastor mentioned to me that he was thinking about, because I discussed it with him a few weeks ago. So he told me he was thinking about the question. And he remembered that, it's just funny when I'm saying it, he remembered, but he remembered that there's a Ragachavar, there's a tshuva of the Ragachavar that says that even in a case where maybe there's no lifnei iver, there's still maybe an iser mesis. Meaning, a mesis is someone that seduces someone to do avodah zarah. So that is an iser by itself. It's an iser mida oraisa. So the Ragachavar has a tshuva where he says, even if lifnei iver doesn't apply, maybe mesis does apply. So, we didn't finish the discussion, but that's just another maybe option why you would be maybe have to be machmer in terms of this treatment of CBT of telling the person that he should go back to praying. If you do consider avodah zarah, maybe you would be a mesis. Again, there's a discussion about that, but Rav Shastor is coming from the viewpoint that the Rav had. The Rav used to quote from Rav Chaim that he didn't like he thought avodah zarah was Christianity was avodah zarah. He didn't like the way the Ramah. He didn't think the Ramah was right, the Shachler, for those we discussed a little last week. But that's where he's coming from. So again, presumably we are makel in that case to allow him to encourage him to pray as part of the CBT, as part of Pikuach Nefesh, without Nisr of Lifnei Iver. There may be just one thing to think about of whether this is considered a mesis or not. That's, I guess, food for thought just to end off. Okay, we're done with psychiatry. And Blin, I don't know what we're going to start with next week. If anyone has any recommendations, please let me know. Okay.